Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. So I have always been more than a little fascinated by Gestalt pictures. Do you know the ones I'm talking about? Where two different pictures are present, but you can only see one at a time? One picture shows the outline of two faces looking at each other, for instance, but in the space between them, you can see the outline of a chalice. Another shows a close-up of an old woman's face, but if you look at it another way, it's the silhouette of a young woman from behind. In each picture, there are two distinct possibilities. But because of the way our mind organizes information, we can only see one at a time. Both pictures are there, present, true, and available. The question becomes which one you will focus on. And what you focus on, in turn, determines what you see. Something very similar is going on in the Gospel according to John. Across the pages of St. John's account, you see, Jesus' miracles are never called miracles. Instead, they're called signs. I know that might seem like a minor detail, but it's quite intentional on John's part. From start to finish in John's gospel, you see, Jesus seven-time performs what we would call a miracle. He turns water into wine, he heals the son of a royal official, heals a paralyzed man, feeds 5,000 people, walks on water, heals a man born blind, and now raises Lazarus from the dead. And while each of these events was miraculous, each was also a sign. Which means, according to John, that each of these events is important less because of what happened, healing or feeding or whatever, and more for what was communicated by what happened. Each sign, you see, communicates something vital about who Jesus is and, in turn, who God is. But here's the thing about signs. They're not always obvious. It all depends on what you focus on. And often, signs can be rather ambiguous. And so, they have to be interpreted. Some people see in these signs the presence of God, while others see only a coincidence or a stroke of luck or a freak act of nature. Maybe you know what I mean. You may have sensed God's presence in your life and experienced something that felt entirely miraculous. The cancer went into remission. A relationship you thought was beyond repair was healed. An opportunity or best course of action suddenly revealed itself to you at just the critical moment. And yet you know that not everyone around you saw it that way. You can't prove that God was involved, that God made a way. You can only believe it and talk about it or not. And so each sign in John's gospel provokes a reaction. For instance, when Jesus changes water into wine at the wedding of Cana at the very beginning of his ministry, the wedding steward, the guy in charge of making sure everything goes well, is astounded that the bridegroom saved the best wine for last. At most weddings, you see, you serve the good stuff first, and as people drink more and more, you bring out the cheap drinks later because, well, they probably won't notice. And so the steward is surprised that this couple has saved the best wine for last and probably thinks that that decision was a little foolish. What he doesn't know is that this wine is the best wine because it's miraculous. It's a sign of God's presence and abundance. But the steward doesn't see that, and so doesn't get it. By contrast, a little later on in the gospel, when Jesus heals the son of a royal official, the man later realizes that his son recovered just as he was asking Jesus for help. And perceiving this as a sign of God's presence and favor, he and his whole family come to faith. Signs are ambiguous. They need to be interpreted. And sometimes, because they're ambiguous and people interpret them differently, Jesus' miracles provoke very different reactions. Take today's story of the raising of Lazarus, for instance. Some people, like Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, along with a great number of those who had come out to comfort the sisters, When they see what Jesus has done, they come to faith. They interpret the raising of Lazarus from death as a sign of God's presence, power, and favor. A sign that God's love is stronger than hate and that God's life is stronger than death. And so they believe. But not all do. In fact, in the first few verses of the very next chapter, some of the religious leaders take a very different view. When they hear about this miracle, they don't see it as a sign of God's life and love, but rather they see this miracle as dangerous, and they see the one who performed it as a threat to their power. And so they decide that he must die, and they begin right there and then, just after hearing about this incredible miracle, they begin to plot Jesus' murder. They don't focus on what God is doing among them, but rather on how it might affect them. Signs need to be interpreted. They demand we shift our focus and often provoke a reaction. And in this story especially, signs also offer an invitation. Did you notice that? Once Jesus has miraculously summoned Lazarus from the tomb, he turns around, faces the crowd, and then says simply and clearly, "Unbind him and let him go." In other words, once Jesus has miraculously summoned Lazarus from the dead, he invites those standing by to enter into the miracle, to participate in it, to make it real in their own lives, and in this way to extend and even complete the miracle that God has accomplished. And I find that kind of amazing, because Jesus didn't have to do it that way. I mean, after calling Lazarus from the tomb, he might have gone over to Lazarus, unwrapped him himself, and welcomed him back to the land of the living. But rather than linger in the limelight of his own miracle, Jesus invites those around him to get involved, to be a part of it. And that is always true of God's miraculous signs. First, they demand to be interpreted, shifting our focus from the mundane elements of life so that we can see God's presence in the midst of those elements. And then they offer us an invitation, to sense God's presence, to participate in the miracle, and then to go and share it with others. All of which prompts me to ask, what do you make of what's going on these days? The last 18 months have been enormously challenging for our congregation, for our community, for our country, for the whole world. And yet amid those challenges, there have been tremendous outpourings of goodwill. There have been sacrifices, great and small, made to the benefit of others. And there's been a heightened awareness that we need each other, that we do better together. That has been true generally, of course, and it has certainly been true here at Mount Olivet. But only if you look for it. I mean, if you drove by our campuses on one of the 53 Sunday mornings when we sacrificed our in-person worship in order to care for our neighbors, you might think that not much is going on at Mount Olivet Church. Yet if you looked more carefully, if you shifted your focus elsewhere, you would see tremendous growth in our engagement with worship, in Bible study, fellowship, stewardship, and outreach. This past year has been in almost every possible way difficult, but incredible, challenging, yet also miraculous. And I think that the events of this past year are also a sign. Like all signs, it demands we shift our attention and it needs to be interpreted. So what do you think? Has the growth of vibrant faith we've experienced across the last year and a half just been luck? Or is it a sign of God's life and love and hope, and that these things continue to be stronger than the division and despair that sometimes seems to be all around us? Similarly, is the increased engagement and renewed sense of the importance of faith something that we've accomplished, or is it something that God has accomplished among us? A gift from God to us, a gift that we can then share with others. Now, before you answer, notice with me just one more thing from St. John's gospel story. We call it the raising of Lazarus, But curiously, Lazarus barely plays a part, doesn't even utter a word. The first part of the story is about how Mary and Martha and all those who mourn Lazarus. And the last part is about Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead and then calling the crowds around him to get involved by unbinding Lazarus and setting him free. Throughout all of this, Lazarus barely plays a part. And I think that is no accident. John's story of Jesus' sign, you see, isn't finally about Lazarus and is definitely not meant to end with him. John's not simply sharing the news about a miracle that happened long ago in the past, that is, but instead is describing a present tense miracle that happens each and every time someone hears the good news of God's love, someone senses God's presence in their life and responds in faith. And that includes what's happening in the life of this congregation, right here, right now, before our very eyes. We are not through this pandemic yet, and even when we are, there will be new and more challenges. But God will also continue to be present, guiding us, leading us, restoring us, and strengthening us. And that, I think, is St. John's version of a Gestalt picture. Because depending on where you look, we might see a community that's pulling together under difficult circumstances, or we might see God at work, renewing and blessing Mount Olivet Church so that we can renew and bless the communities we serve. Both pictures, both possibilities are there. It depends on where you look and what you want to see. Remember, signs demand that we shift our attention and need to be interpreted, and then signs offer an invitation. Jesus' invitation to the crowd in the story of Lazarus was, "Unbind him and let him go." Jesus' invitation to us, honestly, I don't think it's all that different. We're invited to see all the good that is happening here as a sign of God's presence and power and favor. And then we are invited to get involved, to unbind the gospel, and to let it go forth into our communities and world. And as we do, we will be blessed again. Because God's signs, God's miracles, they're just like that. They draw you in, change your life, and send you forth ready to share them with everyone you meet. So what do you think? Are you ready to not just witness a miracle, but actually to get involved in it, to be a part of it, to participate in the miracle of what God is doing here and now? I think we are. Even more, I believe we are, because Jesus is still present among us, still at work, healing, restoring, even raising us to new life. Thanks be to God. Amen.